Hello, everyone. This is Steve Green. Just before we begin the interview, I'd like to ask you to do me a favor and visit greenlines.com. That's my personal webpage. Green is spelled G-R-E-E-N-E. So it's greenlines, G-R-E-E-N-E-L-I-N-E-S.com, greenlines.com. This website is a great place to keep up with all of the interviews that I do and have done in the past. I don't want you to miss something that I think you'd really like to hear. I think if you're listening to this show on a fairly regular basis, there's a good chance you might miss a couple good shows. Maybe you've missed my interview with Mark Batterson. I just finished an interview with him on his latest book, Win the Day. And maybe you've missed interviews with Bill Johnson or Max Lucado or John Bevere. That's right, I'm name dropping. I'm dropping some names of some really good authors that have written really good books that are going to bless your heart. And they're going to bless your socks. They're going to bless everything about you because of what they write and how applicable and real it is to your life. I just think you'll enjoy knowing that there's an answer to about everything you're looking for. Not from me. I wouldn't bore you to death thinking I've got the answers. But I've interviewed people that I believe the Lord will speak to you through. That's what I want to share with you. So come on over to greenlines.com, search through the website, see what you like. There's other goodies there that I think will really help you in your spiritual walk. It would bless me so much to see you join my email list. I'll never rent it or sell it. I'm only going to mail spiritual content to you in hopes it will bless you. And you can unsubscribe anytime. You don't like it, just tell me you want out and you'll never get another one and I won't bother you. So would you please visit greenlines.com today and let me know you want more spiritual content. All you've got to do is share your email address with me and I'll send you some more goodies right away. It's free and I only want to send you good stuff to bless your life. Now let's get on with today's interview. Welcome back to Green Lines. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. Today I get to interview a friend and someone that's up to something that many of you are going to take an interest in. You might scratch your chin a little bit and say, I wonder if that's for me. And I'll tell you what, if you'll give my guest a good listen, I think you're going to find a way forward that might really surprise you in how you might want to get involved in the mountain of government and to take a look at what comes next and how you can play a role in it. My guest is Eamon Ross. He's a friend of mine. He's been in my church before. We've spent time together. He's a good friend because he's in Tulsa. He went to ORU, got his MBA there, a program that I was the dean of. I don't know if we were there at the same time. I think we were, and I might have already gone by then. But Eamon's real important to me. He knows a lot of the same people I know in Tulsa. But he's up to something that's very unique, and it's a calling. There's no question it's a calling, and I think you'll agree with that when you hear about him. But he's got so many different aspects to what he's up to, and only he can really tell it. But I want to talk to you mainly about his show. He's going to be talking with us about his podcast that's on CPN right now. It's Kingdom in Politics with Eamon Ross. Kingdom in Politics. Just listen to that. It sounds different just to begin with. That what is there about the kingdom that would require us to be involved politically? For the past 60 years, believers have abdicated their responsibility in the political arena, resulting in massive cultural decline and the persecution of businesses and families and individual and religious freedoms. And for any of you who are listening now or just tired of talking about problems or reading about them online or seeing memes here and there, and you want to learn more about being part of the solution, Kingdom in Politics might be just exactly what the Lord wants for you. In his podcast, you're going to hear entertaining discussions and informative, candid conversations and some of the nation's most sought-after, kingdom-minded political experts. You're going to hear about one. He's now the governor of the state of Oklahoma. And Kevin and Eamon were friends for a long time. And they end up being buds and decided, let's make a run at this governor thing. And I'm just going to let Eamon tell you the story of Kevin Stitt, who's now the governor of the great state of Oklahoma. I missed that state. I didn't miss it a couple of weeks ago when they were the coldest maybe in their history. They were covered with ice and snow, but today they're back to the great state of Oklahoma. I want to welcome a friend and a colleague and someone that I really want to help in his ministry, because this is very much a ministry. And you're going to hear that in this interview today with Eamon Ross. So, Brother Eamon, welcome to the Green Lines Podcast.
Well, thanks, Dr. Green. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, you've been hearing me yap for a lot of years. We go back a ways. You've heard me in my church. You've heard me preach. You've heard me at ORU. And now we're in this unique place where God has intersected our lives again in a way that involves kingdom politics. So let's start with you. You go first and tell us how God took you out of the business realm. You're a very successful business person. You've got a ministry, which we'll get to in a minute. But how did God first arrest you to say, look, Eamon, I've got plans for you, and it's in politics?
Wow, that's a great question. I think it starts back in October of 2016. I was on a half business, half mission trip to China, and we decided to take a little trip out to the Great Wall. I was walking along the Great Wall of China, just kind of talking to the Lord, and out of nowhere, and I've never had this happen to me in my life, but I literally heard God say, Eamon, you think too small, you don't think generationally. And I was scared. I had tears in my eyes. The atmosphere was thick. It was really just a paralyzing moment. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like what just happened to me? And so anyway, I've been praying about that for about a week, got home, was having coffee with a friend of mine named Kevin. We coach our kids' basketball teams together, spent a lot of time together in a men's group. And he is asking about the trip. And I said, Kevin, I said, this is what happened to me on the Great Wall. And he said, well, what do you think it means? I said, well, I've been praying about it for the last week. And for some reason, I feel like you and I are supposed to put our heads together and put godly people in positions of authority at the state and national level. And he just stared at me with this kind of awkward silence. And I was like, what? And he said, Eamon, don't tell anyone this, but I think God's asking me to run for governor. And then he said, be my campaign manager.
Wow.
And I just started laughing. I was like, Kevin, that's a ridiculous idea. I've never done anything but vote. And he said, neither have I. So fast forward 5 months, I've been in the business world the past 20 years, and I walked away from an unbelievable career that was easy and fun and profitable. And Kevin and I basically kicked off a 10-person primary.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's slow down a little bit and make sure everybody understands and gets the significance. There are 10 people who announced to run for governor, and I think Kevin was, number 7?
Yeah, I think we were one of the last people to file in that election.
The horse was really out of the barn and running down a track already when you guys threw your hat in the ring.
Well, yeah, and it's funny because neither of us had any experience in politics, so it was one of those deals where you're showing up every day wondering what it is you should actually be doing.
I feel that way about every day. That's just my normal life. What should I do today? So, all right, starting in that spot then, from number 7, you win the primary. Did you have a runoff?
Yeah, so we made it to the top 2 by, there were about 500,000 votes, and we made it to the top 2 by 2,400 votes, and so we went to the runoff.
Right. I remember that.
After we won the runoff and then won the general, and now he's the governor of Oklahoma. But, you know, I really want to talk to you about just a second about the, when we started, I mean, we didn't know anything. I mean, literally had probably 5th grade civics knowledge. And so first day in the office, we sit down and I make 150 vocabulary cards and of all different types of political terminology, because, you know, you can't be successful in any endeavor until you learn the language. And so, you know, I just want to share with the people listening that you don't have to know this stuff. You can learn it. And I really think that's a really fundamental part about being willing to say yes to whatever God's drawing you to. Just be willing to figure it out.
Well, that's all of us. Again, what you're saying is a formula for success in your mountain of influence, your arena, is pretty much exactly the same formula in any arena. You know, it's very... The ground is well tilled. We know what we need to do. But let's talk about you as a minister, because I know you spent some time, you had a little experience that you traveled a long way to go find it, and that was on the Wall of China. when you first heard the Lord call you into a ministry. Tell us how he got you out of business, out of the marketplace ministry, and into a different type of mission work.
Yeah, so during the campaign experience, I really realized, we would meet with pastors and churches, and I was really shocked and dismayed at just the level of ignorance and disengagement across the board that we encountered from believers. And most of them kind of had the mindset, well, it's always the lesser of two evils, or, we were apolitical. And that just really hurt my heart because, I had never been engaged in the political arena at all, but I knew it was important. And that part right there where God just kept, I think he just let that really fester and really bother me, because for 2 years I had been praying, Lord, why did you even pull me into this space? It doesn't make any sense. I don't even really care about politics. I want to make a difference in the world, but I don't really care about politics. And, he did not answer that prayer for 2 years. And finally, one day, he said, amen. I said, Lord, just come on. Please tell me why you're doing this. And he said, it's because of what makes you mad. And I thought, well, what makes me mad? And he said, how the church has abdicated its responsibility in this space. And that's what fires you up. And so then that kind of inspired really this next phase of my life and what our mission is. And that's to raise up believers to run for political office.
Right. There you go again, getting believers to run for political office. What a concept. What do you think has to happen in the hearts and minds of Christians to get us involved, to take the risk? It just seems like something filled with anxiety and more downside than upside. Why would anyone run?
That's a great question. And I think that if the last few years have taught us anything, it's that we're doing a terrible job in our country of raising up leaders. And as I meet with pastors, I ask them, I said, can you think of 4 or 5 people in your congregation that would be incredible leaders in public service? And every time, absolutely, I got the 5 names right here. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what are you doing to steward those people who are called into the political sector? And, the answer is always nothing. And for good reason, right? There's never really been, everyone's starting to wake up to the idea that, wow, we haven't been at the table and now we're on the menu. And so as we're really trying to figure out what's going on and what we can do, everyone's talking about the problem. But then the next step is how do you become part of the solution? And so that's kind of where my mission began, is creating a solution.
Yes. So as we start creating a solution, let's go through a scenario. I ran for school board once and won in Ozark. I was a school board member. And I was most afraid of running and having my family be hurt because of it, because I had kids in the school system. And so I just felt like, I knew that I could make a difference, that I would bring a Christian voice to the board and try to make good decisions on behalf of the school. And then I didn't really know what I was doing. I'm a marketer, and I knew how to sell my brand. But at the same time, I knew really nothing about the politics game. And I think a lot of folks that are out there thinking about maybe a city office, a county office, a school board office, would want to know how to get some help if we were deciding that, I really want to help the kingdom of God by getting involved in politics. I just don't know what to do next. What do you want to help them to do, and how do you do that?
Sure. So we have an online curriculum called Kingdom and Politics. And think Dave Ramsey for politics.
Okay.
And there's a how to run for office course, how to run a campaign course, and then there's devotionals highlighting people in the Bible who are in politics, and then there's a digital starter kit, and then you also get 2 hours of consulting with one of our subject matter experts. Now, let me share a quick story with you, because you brought up school board, and I think, I think that may be one of the most important roles that we could get engaged in as believers.
Sure.
So whether it's school board, like you said, or city council or county commission, that is where our religious and individual liberties are being whittled away slowly. And there was a lady about about 8 months ago in Chico, California. Unbelievable lady. She and her husband and their daughter live there. She homeschools her daughter. She's never been to college. And she reaches out to me and says, Eamon, I feel like God's calling me to run for school board. Now, obviously, it feels like the world's completely against her. She has no experience, no background. Her kid's not even in public school. And so, you know, she says she wants to do it. I take her through the Cliff Notes version of the program because she kind of filed late. And just so you know, Chico, that's like saying Berkeley, California. Sure. It's a college town, incredibly liberal. They're pushing, you know, the 72 gender curriculum. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she and her husband, they just embraced it. They took all of the concepts that we teach and applied them. And there were six people running for two seats and two people that were on the board that were very liberal and very, I would say, radical, were running for their seats again. And well, she ran, she got third place, but she took away so many votes that one of her friends that was also running was another conservative, got one of those seats. And then someone else that was more moderate got the other seat. But she was thrilled that with no experience, she was able to make such a difference in their community. And, you know, I think that's what we have to understand is God can use our wins and he can use our losses. And just having the courage to say yes and take that next step, that's what will change the course of history for the next generation.
Well, isn't that what it's about? Isn't that what Lord wants, that for us to step up and get involved and engage? And it starts with education, doesn't it? Obviously, the call is there. There's a tug in our heart that, you know, I can do something. God's gifted me. I know that I could do something. Now what and how do I do it? So let's be more specific, Eamon. Let's get some detail into how we go about that. And where do we find your courses? What are we going to learn?
Yeah, so you go to kingdomandpolitics.com, and we really lay out there what it is we're trying to do. And our mission is there are 500,000 elected seats in the U.S. from school board to president. Our goal is over the next 10 years to raise up 100,000 believers to run for office. And so like we were talking earlier, whether you know you want to be on the city council or county commission, a position that people don't think about is sheriff. Sheriffs are the last line of defense for the crazy overreach from the government. And those are the people that are protecting us on the local level. And so in the curriculum, we really drill down into every aspect that you need to consider to run for office. And then we provide you with strategies on how to actually execute on those plans. Because at the end of the day, it's all about creating a reasonable path to victory. We could have 100,000 people run, but if nobody wins, then I'm not really sure what impact we've made. So we have to win elections.
Okay.
And then in the How to Run a Campaign course, this is for all the people in the church that want to be part of the solution. You know, whether a small group does this or a church goes through it, you know, each person that buys this or church that buys this program, they get 25 users. So one license is 25 users. And so the handful of people that want to run for office can go through it. And then the people in the church that love politics, are interested, or want to be part of the solution, but would never want to run for office, those people go through the How to Run a Campaign course. And so our goal is to really bring together a group in the church of people who want to be part of the solution and move forward together to do that.
All right. So give me an idea of what I'm going to learn. If I decide I'm going to run for county commissioner, I know you're not job specific, but in general, what kinds of things am I going to learn about running for office?
Yeah, that's great. Well, so we actually do in the course teach a little bit about each of those roles. What does a school board member do? What does a city councilor or mayor do, or a county commissioner?
I love it.
And then what we go through and we teach you, how do you build your platform? How do you build your message? How do you build your team? How do you raise money? Because at the end of the day, you have to raise money in order to reach all of the voters. We also teach you how to file your paperwork and do your compliance. We really talk about different roles and responsibilities for each level of office. And And then we give you a framework to think through. So let me give you an example. Okay. There's a 200-year-old concept called the Lincoln four-step. And it's something that President Lincoln came up with on really how to create a strategy around running for office. So the first step is find out who votes. Okay. And then the next step is find out who's going to vote for you, and then find out who could be persuaded to vote for you. And then the last step is get all those people out to vote. And then what we do is we teach exactly how to do each of those four steps, so that now you have our goal is to really remove the three fears: the fear of the unknown, the fear of failure, and the fear of success. And I think that, the fear is the greatest inhibitor to anything that God's calling you to do.
Sure.
And I think that that's our goal, is to help remove that fear.
Well, why don't you expand on that just a little bit, that what is it in your course that's going to help me with fear if I've got anxiety about winning, that I'm afraid I might win this thing? How do you deal with that, brother?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, because that's a real thing. As I work with all these candidates across the country, and they start to have success, there is that you don't want to be the dog that caught the car.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we connect you with subject matter experts. And these are believers all across the country that maybe they're an expert in polling and data, or an expert in media, TV, or mail, or Facebook, or YouTube marketing, or fundraising, whatever it is, we connect you with those experts. And then as you progress, if you win, we help connect you with people that are experts in policy. So you aren't going to do this thing alone. Our promise is that you are not alone on this journey. So if you need to, and here's what I'll say is, for the people that are listening to this, do you know who your school board member is, or city council member, or state representative? Well, go sit down with them. Go meet with them. Have coffee. And you will quickly see that there is nothing magical about any of these people. I mean, I've sat with, members of Congress and Senate and governors all across the country. Listen, there's nothing magical about these people. And I want to remove that mental block that we put in our heads that, oh, well, these people are in a position of authority, so they must be really smart and have tons of training and experience and degrees. But that's not the reality. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of my good friends, Shannon Grove, she is the Senate minority leader here in California. Unbelievable believer, very vocal about her faith. And, she didn't go to college. She went into the Army. She started her own company. Was very successful at that. And then next thing she knows, she's running for state house and then state senate. And she's making a huge impact for the kingdom at the state level. And we were actually at a meeting, it's been about a year ago now. And it was 700 pastors in a room for 2 days, hearing about really how they have abdicated their responsibility and what they need to do to start stewarding the political arena. And she gets the microphone, and she's this 5'5" ball of fire, right? She grabs the microphone and she looks at these pastors and says, "Quit praying for me. Quit calling me.
Wow.
Get off your butt and get down to the Capitol."
I love it.
And it's just dead quiet. I mean, and there's speakers. I mean, Charlie Kirk's there, Dennis Prager's there. Tons of well-recognized pastors are there speaking. And she said, "You are the only group of people that never comes to the Capitol. The atheists are there advocating for their agenda. The abortion lobby's there advocating for their agenda." And she lists all the different groups that are down there. And she said, "They're down there on a weekly basis." And she said, "I guarantee that most of you in here don't even know who your representative is, and for sure have never met with them." That's where it starts. We have to educate people. And that was a very powerful moment. I mean, most of these people were looking at each other, shaking their heads. Yeah, she's right. And so, we can't just get involved when the house is on fire. We have to steward this space every single day and be part of the solution instead of just complaining about all the problems.
Well, Eamon, we've got a big elephant in this room. It's a great big one. I don't know if we can move it. But it's this issue of separation of church and state. Now, we're simply here advocating that the church or church people get involved in government. How do you deal with this? Are we combining? Are we separating? Are we running because we don't like the way things are going? How do you come down on this when you get asked this question about the separation of church and state?
That's a really good question. You know, and what's shocked me about this question is that I get it from as many believers as I do from non-believers, mm-hmm. which is just fascinating. And I think I would answer this question in two parts. I mean, I'm gonna really give kind of the Cliff Notes answer here. The first answer is, look, separation of church and state is not in the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, or any ratified document at the government level. It was just simply a sentence that Thomas Jefferson wrote in response to a church asking for clarification on a topic. And his intention was that the state will not infringe upon the church. I mean, I think that nobody wants a theocracy. That's what I'm advocating for. I want a republic, a democracy. And I don't think you have to look further than 1400, Great Britain or modern day Iran to know that a theocracy is not a healthy environment. Mm-hmm. But all of these people have an agenda that are leaders. You know, every single person that's listening to this right now has some type of agenda. Now, just imagine if those were kingdom-minded agendas in the political space. And then the second answer to that question is, you know, I really get this a lot. And a good friend of mine, Dean, he couldn't be on the other end of the ideological spectrum than myself. But we love each other. We respect each other. And we have these challenging conversations so that we can really hammer out our own thoughts on it. And he said, you know, I said, what is your, you know, what does separation of church and state mean to you, Dean? And he said, well, and when you ask somebody that question, most people have never even really thought about it and really thought, what does that even mean? I mean, can an atheist be in politics? Mm-hmm. Yes. And well, atheism is their religion. I mean, can a Jew be in politics? Yes. Can a Muslim? Yes. And so what does separation of church and state mean? And he said, you know, he said, I just don't want you guys out there legislating your morality. I thought that was a really powerful statement. And so I thought about it for a minute and I said, you know, I said, Dean, I said, name one law that isn't legislated by some type of a morality. And he paused for a minute, and I said, listen, you can't drive 200 miles down the road because you might kill someone. So every law is based on some moral ethic. My goal is to make sure that those laws are based on kingdom ethics. I mean, if we aren't basing laws on a constant like the Bible, a biblical foundation, then it's all moral relativism. What's good for you is what's good for this person. There's no way to act, and that's why you see it today in the political space. It's all verbal gymnastics, right? Everyone's moving the goalposts to fit their agenda for the day. I mean, you know, bacteria is life on Mars, but a heartbeat isn't life on Earth.
Okay, that's a good point. I can't argue with you. Let's let's talk about your podcast because we're about out of time, and I don't want to lose that.
Yep.
I want you to tell people about what you're doing with your podcast, Kingdom in Politics with Eamon Ross. Tell me about your show, what you're trying to do, and who we can expect you to be interviewing.
Absolutely. And before I tell you about the Kingdom in Politics podcast, I just want to thank you and your team. You guys have been great to work with. It's an incredible bunch, and it's been a really good experience.
Well, good. We want to keep it that way. We're just getting started. We want to help you take this thing to the where the Lord wants it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And that's all I'm trying to do is just, you know, steward my five loaves and two fish here.
Okay. Come on.
So we have guests on from all over the nation. If you go on to the Kingdom in Politics podcast, you can listen to, for instance, Governor Stitt, Kevin Stitt, the 28th governor of Oklahoma. And he shares about his faith and how he approaches government and how he, you know, how he really feels that fear is the greatest inhibitor of the church right now. And We have other guests like Mike Ferris, who's the CEO of Alliance Defending Freedom. And that's the organization that takes on all the cases like the baker who didn't bake, you know, wouldn't want to bake the cake for right. the gender transition. And we, Dr. John Jackson, the president of William Jessup University, and used to be the head of 270 Baptist churches in the Pacific Northwest. Gabe Sherman, the chief of staff at NASA. My goal is to share with people the stories of believers who are in public service at a high level, fighting the good fight every day. With my hope is to inspire other people to get involved, because if no one tells these stories, we don't realize how many amazing believers are out there on the battlegrounds, getting engaged, trying to change the course of history for the next generation.
Well, and you should have gotten Jim Bridenstine. He's a guy that followed
after
your heart.
He's coming on. He's coming on.
Jim is one of those that, what, a jet fighter pilot, and he said, I'm going to run for the House. You know, and he became a congressman, my goodness, with no background in politics.
You know, and then also Senator Lankford.
Yes.
He's phenomenal. You know, he was the Falls Creek Baptist Church, the head of that, you know, the director, and then ended up running for Congress and won, and then now he's, been in the Senate for a number of years.
He's very powerful.
There are a lot of people.
Yes. And so there's hope for all of us. If God's tugging at your hearts and asking you to step up, take a look, and see what God's got for you, then you'd be a great person to contact, as well as not only that, but to make sure they listen to your podcast. Give us your contact info, first of all, and we'll wrap this up with your life verse. I want to hear from you about what guides you through your day. What verse is your North Star?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you go to www.kingdominpolitics.com, you can sign up to join the movement. You can also register for a free webinar that will be rolling out here very shortly. And then, you know, for me, our motto here at Kingdom in Politics is to embrace faith, inspire hope, and weaponize love. We want people to embrace their faith, and we don't want people to compartmentalize it. You know, I'm a believer at home, but not at work. I'm a believer at, at school, but not at home, whatever. You know, we want people to really embrace their relationship with Christ and take that into every place. And we want to inspire hope. I mean, we want people to know that, look, you can go make a difference in the world, whether it's in your school or your community or your state or the nation. And the person that inspires the most hope has the most influence. So
yes.
We teach, how do you do that? How do you inspire hope? And then weaponize love. And, you know, I get asked about this a lot, because people are like, what does weaponize love mean? And, you know, if you think back, you know, in Matthew 5, where Jesus is talking to the disciples about, hey, you know, at that time they were under Roman law. And so a Roman citizen could say, hey, or a soldier could say, hey, I want you to carry my bag a mile. And they would be required to do that. And so he's sitting there telling the disciples, look, he's like, if they say go 1 mile, you go 2 miles. And what he was doing there was he was weaponizing love. He was saying, go the extra mile. And I want the people that God's calling into this space, or that feel the nudge to make a difference in their world, to do that. And so we want you to take the love of Christ and weaponize it and take it into every space.
Brother, I think we ought to have another show just to talk about weaponizing love. You know, I've written a little book about love and how it engages leadership, and how it can truly be a weapon in changing the course of a business, any type of entrepreneur program, but also after spending time with you, how it can really change. Brother, we're just out of time, and I love you and I appreciate you, and you're inspiring. I'm glad that we have you on the Charisma Podcast Network. Again, your show was Kingdom in Politics. Give me your life verse, and we'll call it a show.
Well, my life verse in the context of this is Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous rule, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. And so for those of you that are tired of groaning, time to get involved.
That's right. Time to step up. Brother, it's been a pleasure to meet with you and to have you on the show. Hope you come back. We've got lots to talk about.
Love to. Thanks, Dr. Green. God bless.
God bless you, brother. We love you. I've been visiting with Eamon Ross, a good friend and a good leader, someone that we can all learn from. And this is one young man you want to keep an eye on. And he's up to so much. Got a great family, by the way, 3 kids. And he's just a man that I believe that you will learn a lot from. And he's going to be a weapon of love in the kingdom of God. Kingdom and Politics, right here on the Charisma Podcast Network with Eamon Ross. This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. You've been listening to Green Lines. And on behalf of my producer, Adley, we say to everyone at the end of every show, Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Abundant living through kingdom politics. What a concept. God bless you all.